Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 257, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. In daily praises bless his name, and tell his grace abroad among the nations far and wide. His glory celebrate to all the peoples of the earth. His wondrous works relate. 1, 3, and 4 of 257.
The portion of God's Word which we wish to read to you this morning, you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, thereof the second chapter. Acts chapter 2, but first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, and saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Congregation, we announce that the curatorium has met in this past week and has received freedom to accept Mr. Ed Meljars of the Chilliwack congregation into the theological school to prepare for a work as a missionary minister. May the Lord grant us humble hearts and much prayer for our new student, for his family, for the instructors, and for our denomination and our mission field. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may approach unto thee in this morning hour. May it be with humble hearts. For all that thou hast done unto us, where we were gladdened in the week that is gone by, as a curatorium, when we have received the freedom to accept a man to begin his studies in our school, that it may be opened once again after many years, then, Lord, thou knowest all our sin. Wilt thou open it unto us, that our hearts may be humbled under thy goodness. For the least of thy blessings are so undeserved from our side. And it is right when thou wouldst leave us to ourselves and never grant unto us any more the shining of thy face. For our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day, in our hearts, in our conversations, in our lives, in thought, in word, and in deed. Of omission and of commission, who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? And we therefore do make ourselves over and over unworthy of the least of all thy mercies and of thy faithfulness. And yet thou art so good unto us. O Lord, we ask of thee for thy blessing upon the decision that has been made, thy blessing for our denomination, thy blessing for our mission field, that thou thyself wouldst crown it therewith, that thou may give also the evidences of thy approval, thy blessing, that he also as a student may also receive help from above in all that now lies before him, when there is a great change for him, when he will begin his studies. Oh, he shall need, O Lord, thy help. Wilt thou be on his right and on his left hand, continually, day by day, supply in the move that he will make with his family, supply for his dear wife and for his children, who will follow along. Oh, wilt thou give unto them a place also by thee, for all that lies before them which thou knowest. Remember parents also, those also in our very midst. Lord, wilt thou supply for them in all that shall take place in the future, and give us together a place before thee in our secret chambers. Do look upon the school when it will begin in several months, all the preparations that shall be made in the coming months. Help the instructors. Oh, be in their midst. And Lord, could it please thee to look upon us as a people, we may gather together in this day. It is thy Sabbath day. It is also a feast day, a day wherein we may commemorate the pouring forth of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, could we receive from thee in this morning just a little crumb of the same. Oh, may we ask it of thee, Lord, when we have departed from thee days without number, and when according to our sins thou couldst righteously hide thy face forevermore, and say that thou hast no more blessing for such a people. But Lord, may we ask it yet of thee. Thou dost yet say, despite the sin of thy church, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, we need it all, O Lord, from above. We need the grace of thy Spirit poured out upon us for the preaching, but also for the hearing, that we may experience in our midst, oh, just the crumb of that which we have read together out of thy holy word. When there will be fruit, O Lord, then it will be from thy work. It will be begun by thee, it will be upheld by thee, and it must be finished by thee, because from our side there is nothing. Oh, there is nothing that can begin it or uphold it or finish it, but left to ourselves. Oh, thy children, they also shall depart, and then they would fall away, but there is no falling away. Because thy covenant that is one-sided, because thou art sovereign, because thou hast said it is finished, because thou hast promised thy Holy Spirit, and that thou wouldst be with thy church even unto the end of the world. Oh, therefore, that afflicted and that poor people, they shall be brought in even unto the last day. Lord, we are not afflicted or poor by nature with our iniquity and sin. Oh, we have afflictions of this world, but our hearts are not afflicted. Oh, grant this day open eyes and an open heart, and an open understanding and a new life from the dead. Give unto thy church a feast day. Oh, could it please thee to lead them a little further into the mysteries of thy grace. Oh, Lord, thou knowest how ignorant that they are. Then they know nothing, for they are of yesterday. But thou must teach them everything, and thou must lead them step by step, else they know not what step to take further. But, Lord, could it please thee, in all the way wherein thou dost lead thy people, to draw them closer unto thyself, and to give them more and more to see the riches of thy free and thy sovereign grace. Oh, that man may be abased to the lowest, and that thee, the triune God, may be exalted to the highest, when they shall sink away in wonder for all thy deeds and all thy mercies. Lord, remember them even in this day. Be with all the needy ones. Oh, supply for the afflicted, for the sick, for the weak ones, him also that may come up after some time, that may be in our midst again, an awful accident, and even then to be cast into mourning, and now to be brought once again in thy house in our midst. Oh, we ask of thee a blessing for him also from above, and the families also, several families, that may join us as a congregation. Lord, could it please thee to make us to be a blessing also unto them, as a flock, as thy servant, as a consistory, and that they also may be a blessing in our midst. Oh, that also among them as families there may be found those who have a secret place, that there may be Aarons and Hurs that may cry for us as thy servant, and that thy blessing may be drawn out of heaven, that thy word may be drawn out of us, that together we may receive the experience of the knowledge of thy presence in our midst. Lord, that thou may go before all widows, widowers, and afflicted ones, supply for those in the nursing homes, and those in the hospitals and institutions of mercy, those that must remain in their own homes. And wilt thou give in our midst that the children and the youth may also receive from thee new hearts in the days of their youth. Oh, then thou art not bound. Lord, could it please thee then to work in our midst, amongst young and old, do teach us out of thy law to do thy will in all things, forgiving what is sinful and amiss in thy holy sight. Strengthen us as thy servant to bring thy word in this morning hour. Oh, give to us a little blessing from above, that is from our side also so undeserved, a little freedom, a little opening in thy holy word. For when thou shuttest, no man can open, but when thou openest, no man can shut. Do it then, Lord, for thy name's sake, and give us a little feast. Could it please thee in this morning hour, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 49. 1, 2, and 3, the ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship Him as God alone. We announce that, the Lord willing, there will be a consistory meeting this coming Wednesday evening, May 22nd at 7:30 p.m. And the last collection today is for the North American General Mission. Psalter 49, all stanzas. Congregation, it is naturally with much gladness that we may make such an announcement in this morning concerning the acceptance of a student into our own theological school. May the Lord indeed give to us much prayer for him, for his family, for the instructors. He will now, the Lord willing, have to make a move to Michigan. There he will live with his family. He will be instructed, and the Lord willing, in due time, will be sent out. However, it is not enough. We read of the disciples that they were also sent by the Lord Jesus, and yet we read more in his holy word. We read, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus they can be sent, but they also needed that their understanding was opened by the Lord. And whom did he send? We read, and ye are witnesses of these things. The disciples, naturally, they were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus. And yet also today, it is necessary that a man be a witness of these matters if he is to be sent out to preach. Therefore, you understand the very difficult task of the curatorium. And still, in the end, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Thus, they had to wait. They had to tarry. And what did they have to wait for? They had to wait for power. They had to wait for the gift of the Lord. Power not from man, but power from on high. Thus it was, it is not in the mind. It is not in the intellect that is able to convert a man, but it is in that power from on high. And this we wish with the Lord's help to consider with you for a little while in this morning hour, out of Acts 2, the fourth verse. Acts 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So far, the words of our text. The sending of the Holy Spirit to qualify for the work of the ministry. First, filled with the Holy Ghost. And second, speaking with other tongues. The sending of the Holy Spirit to qualify for the work of the ministry. First, filled with the Holy Ghost. Second, speaking with other tongues. Congregation, who is God? There are many answers to this question. There are many opinions concerning who God is in the midst of this world. Children, when you will go to some places in the world, then they will say, the sun is God, or the moon and the stars are God, or the creation is God. Then we worship the creation as if it were the Creator. That is an insult unto God. Who is God? We read in the Bible that there was a man who was born blind. And so we are also born blind. And that man, the Lord Jesus asked him, even after he had received his sight, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And his answer was, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Thus, he did not know who that the Son of God was. We have the Bible, and in the Bible we may read that there is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How highly do we estimate our privilege of having the Holy Scriptures that others do not have? Do we desire also to know who that true God is? The triune God. Many hear today, and that is a good thing, of the Son of God, Christ. That name that is going out in the midst of the world. That is a wonderful thing because there is only one name given under heaven among men whereby that we must be saved. And that is the name Jesus. That is the Son of God. Then many, they are urged to believe that God is their Father. That is a sad thing. Because, indeed, though it is true for some, it is certainly not true for all, then we are deceived. But how often do we hear in the midst even of the Christian world about the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, and that is because Arminianism that has run rampant. And Arminianism has very little need for the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, the Holy Spirit, yes, we need Him to give common grace to all men. And in that common grace is the ability to take hold of that lifeline that is thrown to us in the gospel. But it is not a special grace of the Spirit, no. But it is a common grace of the Spirit. Thus, that work and the necessity of the Holy Spirit is very, very greatly minimized in our day. But what did Christ say? He said, tarry, to his disciples. Why? Well, when they will go forth in their own spirit, that is a very dangerous thing. Why? Well, what was their spirit? Well, we can read it. They have argued amongst themselves who would be the greatest. That is our spirit. And therefore, the Lord, he says to his disciples, tarry. And therefore, The disciples, we read in this morning that they are waiting. That they are waiting for that fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. That they go not in their own strength. Therefore we read, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That was the commemoration of Pentecost. What was that, children? Pentecost. So they had Pentecost also, and they did commemorate with Pentecost the establishing of the nation of Israel. Then God came. God came. Do you remember when God came? When the children of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt, then it was but 50 days. They have received the law from God. Did God come again? Say yes, Christmas. Then he came again. Who was that? That was the Son of God. Thus, when God came the first time, and then it was to give his law. Then he came with fire on Mount Sinai. Or when he has come the second time, in the incarnation of his only begotten Son. Or then he has come, we read now, the third time. And when he has sent his Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. At that time, they also commemorated the Feast of Weeks. What was that? Well, that was the beginning of the harvest season. And the very first sheaves that are brought in, they are waved before the Lord. They are shown unto the Lord, as it were. In acknowledgement of the very beginning of the harvest. Do we do that too? When we will bring in a harvest, and that we are immediately acknowledging that this harvest is not from us, but then it is then also in expectation of something more. When they have received the first fruits, then they are expecting that more harvest, that a greater harvest is going to come in. This day of Pentecost, and that is a representation that is itself signifying something spiritual. Thus, there is an expectation. Here, the Lord is coming. And we have the very first fruits of the working of the Spirit of the Lord. And when those first fruits are received by the church, how many children? 3,000. That is many. Yes, but there shall be many more. Many more that shall be brought in. And on this first day, as it were, then these first fruits may be waved before the Lord. And then Israel may expect that there is going to be a great harvest. Thus, we find the disciples here. They are gathered together. They are waiting. And when they are waiting, then they are not sitting and doing nothing. They are not saying, young people, well, the Lord must do it. Did the Lord have to do it? Oh, yes. Had they power? No. Could they fulfill the promise? No. But there they are gathered, and there they are still busy. There they are in unity, looking for the same thing, asking for that same thing. Are they put to shame? No. Never will those that seek him be put to shame. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Suddenly, thus, we find a characteristic of the work of God. Because congregation, the Lord, he is sovereign. And the Lord is working in his own time. And the Lord, he is giving prayer. He is giving supplication. And then for the people that are waiting for him, the Lord suddenly is coming unto his own church. It is true, even in regeneration, in the use of the means. Oh, you come here, and you sit, and you listen. That is good. That is the best thing that you can do. What is our expectation? Oh, are we looking, are we asking also for the coming of the Spirit of the Lord? The Lord, congregation, he is a surprising God, a surprising God. And it is suddenly that the Lord is coming, and that the Lord is working, and that the Lord is giving new life. Thus, to the surprise of a soul, to the surprise of a congregation, or it is also in the deliverance. And when that people are made willing, when that people are made waiting, then it is suddenly that the Lord is appearing. And then it is, we read, John says, it was the 10th hour. And then he saw him. This coming that is accompanied, we read here, by signs. That is for the sake of his church. Why? For the time. Because in our time, then those signs are no longer necessary. When that word is already complete as we may have it. And so here, for the sake of his church, that that church may believe, then the Lord is giving unto them signs. And that one sign, that is a sound. Children, a sound that the Lord gave as a sign. And that sign that was a meaningful sign. And that spoke something. What sound was it? We read it is the sound of as of a rushing mighty wind. Maybe you have heard what has taken place in the past week. Then there were also rushing mighty winds in the south of the United States. And those winds, they are powerful. Then we can read of the destruction that has taken place. And there is no man that is able to resist such a rushing mighty wind. And thus the Lord gave this sign. Why? That it may say something. There are disciples. And these disciples, they are sent out into the whole world. Only a few men. And there they must preach the gospel to every creature. All those disciples, they have no power. But those disciples, they may receive here a sign from the Lord. A sound of as a rushing mighty wind that is filling all the house. Why? Because the Lord says that his Spirit that his spirit that is as that rushing mighty wind, and that spirit that is going to go before the disciples, and that there is no man in all the world and that shall be able to resist the power of that spirit, those disciples. They have to teach all nations. What does that mean? That means they have to make disciples. They have to make followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not only in outward appearance, but they must make them in very truth, a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation who is sufficient for these things, or who is able to make a man a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to raise a man from his spiritual deadness and give unto him spiritual life? Or can we change your affections? Can we give to you love to the Lord? When there is in our hearts by nature only love for ourselves and for all this world? Can we plant in the heart of a man hatred? Hatred for sin? Can we change a person's opinion of himself? The religious man, what is our opinion of ourselves? We are rich. We are increased with goods. We have need of nothing. And we can stand and we can preach and we can speak and we can urge and we can draw and we can... Can we change a man's opinion of himself? His opinion of the world? Opinion, what is substance, what is vanity? Or can we make a proud man a humble man? Did the Lord not say to Job, if you are able to bring down man's pride, that I will confess that thy own right hand can save thee? Or can we make a Saul into a Paul? Can we make a person need the Lord Jesus Christ? Or can we plant in your heart a love for the second person, that you would see your need of him? That you would see that he is precious? Can we give you to see his suitability? That you would say with the bride, oh, he is altogether lovely. He is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. By nature we despise him. Oh, we have no need of grace. We love our works. We want to merit. Can we change the heart of man? Can we make a hater into a lover? Can we make a despiser into a seeker? What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him. Draw him. Where is that power? That is the power, all the sweet power of that Holy Spirit. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Our congregation, there it was. Now they feel it. And what do we read? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Did the disciples not have the Holy Ghost before? Certainly. They have preached. They have healed. They have done great wonders. They have done miracles. All by the power of that Holy Spirit. What is the difference? Well, there is a great difference in the measure. Now they are filled. Now that Spirit that is poured forth upon His church. Why? It is, congregation, a new dispensation. The last dispensation before our final state. And in this last dispensation of the world, the greatest part of that church of God, which will be brought in, that 144,000 in this last dispensation of the world, that greatest part of that church is going to be gathered in. That is, after that the Son of God has finished His mediatorial work, and then that Spirit of the Lord that is sent forth to grant the application. That is a time, we read in the Bible, that Satan shall be chained. We read that John, he saw a mighty angel, and that angel has taken hold of that great dragon that is Satan. And he has bound Satan for 1,000 years. That means that Satan is in that last dispensation. Satan, he is in a general way bound. And that he is not able to incite the nations to persecute the people of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of the Lord that is sent out in a great, in a rich measure. And that gospel that is going to be preached unto every nation in this world. As so that a church of God that shall glorify Him eternally. And that church of God is going to be brought in. Oh, that is the last dispensation. Oh, do we realize what a privilege that we have to live in the last dispensation in this world. When the work of God in the payment for sin that has been accomplished. When the bud that is now broken into an open flower, when we may see the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, when everything has become so clear unto us, when the Holy Spirit that is poured forth in rich measure, when Satan, he is bound by the Lord, oh, do we realize what a rich time, what a blessed time, and that the Lord has given us to live in. But that time, and that is also going to come to an end. Because John says when those 1,000 years are fulfilled, and then we read that Satan must be loosed again. He must be loosed again for a little season. And what time is that? Oh, that is the time, congregation, of the end. Then we read in the end that there will be a great tribulation. And then the blood that is going to flow in the streets. Oh, then the church of God that is going to be persecuted. Oh, we read also that Holy Spirit that is going to be in a measure withdrawn. No, not fully. But in a measure withdrawn, that man, the Lord, he is going to permit Satan to do his work again. That is all under the governing providence of the Lord. Because we read the Lord Jesus says, and that when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, can we not see? When our eyes are only a little open, then we can see that these times certainly are coming upon us and upon our children. When we see how that Satan, he is gathering as never before, and his forces to work, the hatred that is being incited among the nations and in our own nations, even from within, against the Lord and against his true church, then we can see that those times, they are indeed coming. Can we not see that Satan is working even in our own homes? Can we not see it in the internet? How that Satan, is breaking out of all of the fences and the gates that we, even as a people, are trying to put around our children, that we are not able to protect them even anymore. Then Satan, certainly he is being loosed for a little season. Congregation, then we must say that the time that is so short, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That had a purpose. The Lord had a reason for it. And what was that reason? That they may receive not just a blessing for themselves, no, but that those disciples, they may receive a blessing for the church, that they may receive a blessing for their offices, and that they have received gifts for the sake of the church in that last dispensation. That is what we see in our second thought, that they are speaking with other tongues. But let us sing first Psalter 195. Abundant fields of grain shall wave, all white for harvesting, and boundless joy and gladness fill the city of the King. 1-4 of Psalter 195.
Thank you.
they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other tongues, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, and so on. A great miracle congregation. Is that a miracle in the hearing? That was not a miracle in the hearing. As if the disciples, they have spoken in their normal tongue, and that everyone has heard them in their own tongue. No, but that was a miracle that was in the speaking, and began to speak with other tongues. That is a representative miracle. What does that mean? Well, there was a confirmation for those disciples that they are sent not only to the Jewish nation, but that those disciples receive the gifts that are necessary to go unto every nation in this world. Thus it was for them a blessed confirmation of their calling, of their sending. That was a great miracle. That was a representative miracle. That was also a necessary miracle. Why? Because of Babel. What was that, children? You remember? Great tower. And it wasn't finished. And why not? Because of sin. All the sin of the heart. The Lord said, spread abroad. Men said, no, we will stay together. And we will make ourselves a city. We will make ourselves a tower. Then he will rise to heaven in pride against the Lord. And the Lord said, no, shall not. And in one moment, they cannot understand one another. O congregation, it was the punishment of the Lord for sin, that they cannot understand one another anymore. Thus, Satan, he is always working, and he is himself the author of confusion. And the Lord, he judges men also in such a way, with such a confusion. Satan would hinder every man from hearing of the promise of the gospel that was spoken already before our parents left paradise. But what does the Lord say? No, it shall not be. With one word, the Lord says, I will give my servants to speak in every language. And so does the Lord then take away the punishment? No. But the Lord overcomes that punishment for the one purpose of bringing in his church. That is nothing with him. Other tongues. But now those other tongues, they are not limited to other languages. No, there is something much greater. There is something also here much higher. We read two things. We read the Spirit gave them utterance, and that the people heard them speak, what? The wonderful works of God. Thus, it was not merely their language, but it was the substance. It was what that they spoke. And connected to this is a second sign. That is not a sign, children, of the hearing. You heard that one already. The rushing mighty wind. But now there is something that they see. And what do they see? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes the tongue. It symbolizes the word. Cloven tongues. They are divided unto all the nations of the world. And yet they are united into one. Thus, it will not be the word of those servants, but it will be the word of the Lord, because they shall speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Cloven tongues of what? Of fire. Fire that is a symbol of the presence of God. Or when Israel went through the wilderness, then there was a pillar of fire. Fire. Oh, then it was the Lord that did go before them. When the Lord appeared to Moses in the bush, then that was under the bush that was burning with fire. Congregation, did the Lord ever give you under the administration of the word, when that is accompanied by His Spirit, then we will come into the presence of God. Then we will experience that we are standing on holy ground, cloven tongues of fire. Fire, that symbol of the presence of God. Fire, the symbol of the glory, of the majesty, of the power of God. As when the Lord gave fire upon Elijah's sacrifice. Or when the Spirit of the Lord, that is accompanying that word, then it will be as a cloven tongue, like as of fire. And then we will enter into not only His presence, but we will feel something, we will experience something of the majesty, of the greatness, and of the power of God. What do we read of that word of God? That the word of God is quick, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A discerner, fire. What does it do? It purifies. And then it takes away all the dross, all the impurities. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord is accompanying that word, then we will experience something of the purifying power of that Spirit, because we, congregation, are of the devil. We are of the lie. But when that truth is coming, and when the Lord, by His Spirit, He is giving that truth into our heart with power, oh, then all the lie, all the hypocrisy, all the face that we put on, that is all taken away. And then we stand before an all-knowing, a holy, and a righteous God, cloven tongues, like as of fire. Then we will know that the Lord knows everything, even the inmost recesses of our hearts. Fire. Cloven tongues like as a fire. What does fire do? It warms. Oh. Thus the Lord comes not as a heavy taskmaster, but when that Spirit of the Lord is coming. And when the Lord is giving by that Spirit to bless His word, and when the Lord is giving to feel something of the majesty of God, the presence of the Lord, oh, then it is also with a great drawing power. Then there is warmth in it. Then there is something in it that is drawing our heart unto the true and the living God. Here is the power of the Holy Spirit that was so necessary for these disciples. Light. Light that is also by the fire. Oh, when that Spirit is coming, then it is possible that we think we have never read this before in our life, but we have read the Word of God from the front to the back. Oh, then we say, I have never seen it. Light. Light upon that word to give our darkened understanding to be enlightened, that we may see for the first time or by renewal who and what we are, who and what He is. Oh, cloven tongues like as of fire. There we see the power that the Lord is going to give when these disciples are going forth. Then we see what is given to them. Oh, they receive understanding. All that word of God, the prophecies of the Old Testament, Joel, it all goes open unto them. And the Spirit of the Lord that is giving them an enlightened understanding that they may know the mysteries of the Holy Scriptures, and the Spirit giving them utterance that they may also speak those mysteries in an intelligible way unto those that are hearing. Congregation, we have to close. It is Pentecost. Pentecost. What does it concern? Pentecost, that concerns the application. Oh, it is so necessary for us, each and every one of us, children, young and old. We cannot miss what is here meant. Children, oh, we commemorate and we are so glad every year that we also have a little program when there is Christmas time. Christmas. Then we say Emmanuel, God with us. And indeed, oh, He, the mediator between God and man. Oh, yes. But, if that is as far as it goes, we will still miss it. Oh, we will still miss it. Then we will perish with the knowledge of the truth. Then our stripes, they shall be so very, very many. Oh, did we ever see the need for the blessing of Pentecost? That the application may also be experienced in a personal way by each and every one of us. Do we see the need? We read a congregation, what does Paul say? He says in Hebrews chapter 10, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant
wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. What a punishment when we have not only sinned against the law of God, but when we have trampled under feet the Son of God, the blood of the covenant, and when we have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Oh, do not put it off. Do you think another time, well, that will be a better time? We do not have command, congregation of the Spirit of God. We do not have command of this. No, God is sovereign. He comes when he will, when he chooses. And now that time, the time is short. Satan, in our time, he is being loosed. We must see that. It cannot be otherwise. Oh, do not think that we can just do this of ourselves. That is a lie of the devil. No man can come except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Oh, let us acknowledge how deeply fallen that we are, and so come and approach that blessed mercy seat. Oh, to come boldly unto that throne of grace, that we may find there grace to help in time of need. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, we ask of thee, send forth thy Spirit. It is not in our words. Lord, it is in thy word. One word, here, there, sanctified, blessed by thee, that shall bring forth fruit unto life. In our midst, also and in our days, cause us to seek thee with all our hearts. Bring us safely to our places, with desire also to gather in this afternoon hour. Remember him that will take the leading part. Supply for all thy servants. Forgive all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at his feet. 3 and 4 of 255. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.